All right, everybody, we are back for episodes 3 and 4 of Curse of Strahd, Tatiana's Revenge, using the Zweihänder D100 Grim and Perilous system. I'm your game master, Daniel Fox, and we are joined, of course, by the crew, the cult, the playtesters, the people you know, the people you come to love and recognize, Adam, Mike, Tim, Nick. Unfortunately, Walter may be running a little late tonight because he had a server issue, so that Dr. Wolf, who we knew in the previous season as Madame Krista, may not be able to join us tonight. Nonetheless, we're going to continue on.
We should be known as gamers that work.
Yeah, that's all of us, isn't it? We just don't have to do any server shit tonight. So, a little bit of background before we start. For those who are new to the podcast, we are playing Curse of Strahd. Written for Dungeons & Dragons. I believe it came out in 2016, if I'm not mistaken. You can see here. It's a beautiful book. It's amazing. We have background in Ravenloft. We thought it would be a really cool thing to run while we're working on a new book for Zweihänder. So we thought we'd run this. We thought we'd run Curse of Strahd using the D100 Zweihänder Grim Perilous system. And we had our first two sessions a few weeks ago. We'll be continuing tonight. We have all of our characters gathered. Let's do maybe a quick update, if we could, Nick. What happened last week? What happened the last two sessions is better.
Last two sessions. We began the game with these new characters, mostly new. We've got Nigel Tanner, the thief, or the fence. Yeah. And we've got Sir Alfie Clavinger, the warrior. He's a knight. Chevalier, and what was your character's name again, Mike?
Mortimer.
Mortimer.
He's an old timer.
And what's his profession?
He started off as a astrologer, mm-hmm. and then turned into a
funerary mage.
Funerary mage, yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then Adam is Benedict Dupre.
An undertaker turned grave robber.
Yes.
That's right. So, as Nick noted, you'll see that all the characters around the table have two professions. We actually started this game out at the beginning of intermediate tier. On the previous season with the other characters, we actually ended the game at basic tier, and we said, let's do tougher characters this time around.
Just to start. I don't think we've ever done this either.
No, started from intermediate.
No, we haven't.
Yeah.
But, you know, considering you're getting 100 reward points every session and it costs 200 for an advance, we'll be able to probably play this for quite some time until we reach advanced tier, which would be the hope, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But let's what happened last week, Nick?
So what happened was we were headed towards Sir Alfie's ancestral home, fleeing from war, in which we were in a very large group at one point, but had slowly whittled down over time to the five of us. So on our way to the teeth,
and one of us ate people. One of us done a party.
I didn't say who it was, but you know,
it was you. That's what you didn't say.
All will be revealed in time. Okay. But so we were headed through a increasingly nasty storm, and we eventually came upon a small village. Yeah, snowstorm. And there were many houses in this village. Most of them were marked in a manner that would indicate that they had been affected by a plague of some sort. So we, in our quest to try to find a house that was not affected, we eventually came upon a house that wasn't marked, but there were also some children outside warming themselves up by a small brazier. And after speaking with them for a few moments, we found out that inside this house was a monster in the basement, as well as their little brother, Walter. So we decided to head inside to find said child, and came inside a very lavish mansion, and proceeded to head up the stairs to look for the kid. We heard some strange noises on our way up. Thought that was kind of odd. And then at the top of the stairs, we noticed that there was some kind of strange there's a suit of armor that was giving Dr. Wolf a bad vibe, so she ended up pushing it off the staircase, at which point it animated itself and started attacking us. So in the melee that ensued, the group kind of got split up, where Dr. Wolf and Nigel Tanner got into a side room where they found baby Walter, who is now a corpse, unfortunately. There was some sort of shadow monster in this room as well that closed the door on us and made it completely dark. So we managed to get the door back open, grabbed the kid, and came back outside. In the meantime, this battle going on, the suit of armor is choking everyone and
beating the crap out of me.
They're kind of wailing away at it with swords, and it's not really doing much. At this point, the hero of the day, myself, Nigel Tanner, decided to take the most radical approach possible, always the best choice, and slide down the stairs as if he was some 90s kid. The staircase, yeah, good time to roll a critical success, because ran right into that suit of armor, blasting it into several pieces, which immediately started to come back together. So we grabbed what pieces we could, threw them in the fire, and then headed out the door. But not before Nigel decided to grab a mortuary sword off of the mantelpiece. When we exited the house, a couple things we noted. First of all, we weren't where we left off. There was no snowstorm. In fact, the setting was more of a swampland, and the child in question was gone. Corpse in question is gone, replaced by a deck of tarot cards. Mysterious. And so at this point, we thought that was awfully strange and decided to take a few moments to get our bearings. And we off in the distance, we noticed a group of people dancing around a campfire, because it had gotten dark. Not suddenly, it actually took quite a while, but we headed back to them and started to talk with him a little bit before the session ended.
That's right.
That's pretty much where we left off.
So the characters have been inevitably drawn into a place they do not know or recognize. It is surrounded by a deep, perpetual haze of heat and fog in this strange, hot, swampy land, not too dissimilar to Louisiana, for purposes of imagining what the swamp looks like, the frogs that dance in the water, the sounds out in the bog. And within that, within the shadows, or I should say as the light of the fire is kind of playing off the top of the mangrove trees, and betwixt this kind of canopy of mist and branches, it gives way to a clearing next to a small river, and it seems to form a small lake, perhaps several hundred feet across, that looks like just a swamp. The sun has slowly set behind the horizon, and the stars begin to open, but they are not stars you recognize. These are not the constellations of the zodiac you would guide yourself by. You are somewhere else, and you're not really sure where. Five colorful round tents, each perhaps 10 feet in diameter, are pitched kind of along the side of the river and the lake. And you can see these kind of four large barrel top wagons. Like, it's clearly some sort of like train of vagabonds that have settled along the side of the river. A much larger tent kind of stands near the shores of the lake, but it kind of sags just because it's probably been here for quite some time. Near this tent, there's about eight or so unbridled horses that are drinking from the river. The thing that kind of draws you into this encampment is this kind of mournful straining of an accordion that seems to clash with the singing of several brightly clad figures who are dancing around a bonfire. A little footpath kind of winds its way up into there, meandering north between the river and the forest edge. You were brought into this encampment as you kind of moved along the very edge of it, trying to suss out what's going on. You've created your story in case they ask any questions, But you find that you are just kind of like dumbstruck by the strangeness of all of this. Particularly you, Mortimer. The stars are very, very strange. Perhaps the others just don't recognize it. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's just you at this point. But the moon is not, the mirror, as you would call it, is not in the same place that it would be. The stars are strange beyond the clouds. You cannot see the distant kind of ring of the red moon that was destroyed mm-hmm. even during the cataclysm. This is a different sky and a different place, and you're not sure how far north or south you are of where you once were.
Right.
You are all filled with this kind of sense of displacement, like this sense of terrible deja vu, like you've seen this before or you've been here before, and you can't seem to easily or readily shake it. All of you need to make a challenging resolve test.
So, 27% chance this doesn't matter.
48%, and I rolled a 50.
Failure.
Who failed?
Critical. I failed.
You crit failed?
I did.
Okay. For those who failed,
I get an extra thing though.
What do you mean you get an extra thing?
I have Squirrel's Fortune.
What does that mean?
I forgot we're on this. Yeah. I have Wheel of Fortune. Add a fortune point for every critical failure.
Oh, nice. Okay, so you can add that fortune point to the pool.
But is that a bad fortune for that one?
Nope.
Nice.
So those who fail suffer from 3 mental peril and gain 3 corruption. You are stressed out. You are feeling there's an otherness there. There's a strange sense of kind of like you don't belong here, but you've been here before. You don't quite know how to put your finger on precisely what that feeling is. For those who critically failed, 17 mental peril and 6 corruption. Sir Alfie, you feel very, very strange. In fact, as you enter this encampment, it kind of reminds you of perhaps these terrible dreams you had as a child of travelers passing between the teeth in your familial home. All of these strange folk who came from the west that spoke in a strange tongue, it all kind of comes bubbling up. It seems like something out of some terrible nightmare you had when you were younger. You are suffering from fear.
So, okay.
You come into the encampment, stealing yourselves as best you can, but still bewildered by the going-ons. And these people who are of a dusky complexion and you know, dark pools of eyes and brown or black hair, save for a few that have their hair is kissed by fire, seem to be celebrating. Not your arrival, just celebrating in general, as you can see jugs of wine being passed back and forth. A slender young man in light yellow clothes kind of hanging off of his shoulders, kind of playing an accordion. The mournful sounds of it kind of like welcoming you into this strange encampment. It almost like, if you see those Terry Gilliam films where they make this kind of slow transitions into like just utter chaos, it feels like that. Like you've been drawn into this kind of almost carnival-esque-like atmosphere of people who were fairly joyful. But there's this kind of among them, this man seems to have this very intense kind of long look as he's kind of what a military man would call sizing you up, but he's kind of looking past you. Like, he's seen others like you before. You can't quite put your finger on it.
Mm-hmm. Mortimer has his head in the skies because he's looking at all these stars and kind of weirded out because, like, you see him start shuffling through his pack. And, like, pulling out, like, pieces of paper and going, like...
Come, the woman says.
I don't know if this matters or not. I actually got a critical success.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, my bad. Paying attention to my new my traits.
Ooh.
Yeah.
What trait?
I get to flip to succeed resolve tests, and if I succeed, it's a critical success.
Well, I think what we'd probably do in that case, if that was the case.
Yeah, my bad.
It's okay. We'll actually let you offset his critical failure.
Oh, okay.
Instead.
Yay, thank you. Which is good.
No good rolls should go unrewarded. So in this case...
Let me lose that fortune.
Do I still get the... I mean, I still have to take the corruption?
Nope.
Oh,
do we lose the fortune point? Benedict kind of places a hand upon your shoulder and comforts you and tells you to steal yourself or something like that.
The gods are with us, even though we are not where we thought we were.
Yeah, it's the unholy people of Galleon. I know it.
Come,
know it.
come, the young man is saying. Sit, drink, eat, he says.
Thank you very much. I accept his hospitality.
Sure. You see these old kind of this fallen tree that's been cracked open and has kind of ringlets of toadstools inside of it. They're sitting upon that, and others are arranged around those bonfires, casting an intense amount of heat. Fortunately, it wards away the mosquitoes, but even dressed as you are now, you're still just sweating heavily. You begin peeling off your clothes. Peeling off the excess clothes, I should say, from your travel through the snowstorm.
I wish to thank you for your courteous, your hospitality. And thank you for the food. My name is Benedict Dupre. With whom do I have the pleasure of speaking?
He says, Kuliat, he simply says, smiling, this toothy, pearly white grin. Kuliat is my name. Welcome, come.
I'll extend out my hand as if to shake.
Sure. He looks at it and he kind of grabs it with both hands and shakes your wrist like such. Here, drink, he forces a horsehide bladder into your hands, where you'd extend your hand, he forces it into your arms. Drink. Drink deep.
I'll drink some. I won't drink deep.
It's a very potent wine. It's a very dry, potent wine, in fact. He urges you to pass it along.
This is quite the perfect drink for such a humid night.
I'll just pass it away.
You must be tired or confused. Yes?
Always.
Why would you say so?
You are from beyond. You're outsiders.
It's obvious. He gave us right away with his staring up at the sky and his head in a map. Yes, we're not from around here.
No, you're not the first to come through. It is fortunate that you have come across our encampment. Please, sit. Drink. You must be tired.
I'll go ahead and sit and make obvious that I'm accepting and, becoming comfortable.
Mm-hmm. Mortimer pays no mind to any of this. He's known for being pretty much a recluse and head in the sky anyway, and this is even more of a curiosity than normal because all the stars are different. So, yeah, I mean, he doesn't mean to be rude. It's just, he's just not a personable guy.
Mm-hmm. You'll have to forgive my companion as I, instead hand the water skin over to
him. Oh, yeah, I just basically not even paid attention, just like passed it along.
I'm sorry, I have to take this call.
Sure.
I'll smell it and take a small swig and pass it on.
Drink deep, please.
Yes, I drink very deeply.
Yeah,
and hand it off to him.
It is a very very strong wine. Mm-hmm. In fact, and he will take a long drink as well.
I will look at the food and I'll break bread with him.
Yeah,
there's no question that I will do that, hoping that hospitality rights are.
They have no sense. They have some bread to offer that they're passing around, like a big loaf of bread and perhaps a wheel of cheese. That they're using a small pocket knife from their waist. All of them seem to wear knives at their waist of some sort, as it's kind of they use it to kind of cut the cheese or cut the bread or get the dirt beneath their fingernails or to one man's kind of hand carving a piece of wood, piece of driftwood into like some small figure.
We will.
Where are we? Since
please, where are you from?
Where are we? Where is this?
This? This is the Sir River, he says. It goes all the way through the lands of Barovia.
Barovia.
Mortimer, are you familiar with this? These terms?
Barovia.
Let me think about it. I'd
make an arduous folklore test.
Ooh. Folklore. 44, and then arduous minus 30. So 14. That's an 07.
Okay. So you have heard of a land far to the south called Barovia.
Okay.
But that's a long way away.
Like,
it's impossible.
Hemisphere difference.
So right.
South. I mean, south. Not hemisphere difference, just south. Remember, remove your modern mind
this. Sorry.
South of Gothmorin. Like, you've heard of a land named Barovia. Or was it Barov or Garovia? Or Gargaston? You can't quite remember.
It sounds familiar, maybe some place further to the south, but I mean, we couldn't possibly be there.
South is the gloaming. North is the gloaming.
The gloaming. I know that term, right?
It is a word that's used for fog. Or mist.
But is it the word that's used in Galleon?
It is.
The gloaming.
Hmm.
Now, where is the gloaming at?
All around us. Above us, to the east, to the west, to the north, and the south. It surrounds Barovia.
Well, it's no wonder if the whole land's like this swamp.
Haha, yes. No, but the gloaming, it is different.
Can you leave the gloaming? Can you make it through the gloaming?
He kind of arches a brow, and he looks across the camp, and you can see this. But he looks toward this large kind of red caravan tent. He says, I cannot speak of the gloaming much. Perhaps Madame Ava could tell you more of it. But nobody passes through it, he says, kind of being very cautious with his words.
I understand this. I understand this.
We will earn our keep, whatever it takes. We don't profess to be layabouts. We will pay you in labor or coin, whichever you prefer.
Your coin, we do not need it, he says, smiling. Okay. You may rest here for the night if you wish, but you should speak to Madame Ava. Perhaps she will help you, he looks toward Mortimer, gather your bearings?
It's all very kind, but what's in it for you? I'm confused. Why do you help us so?
We welcome all manner of travelers to Barovia. You are not the first, nor will you be the last.
I see.
So people come in, but never go out.
You should speak to Madame Ava, he says.
Yes.
Smiling.
We'll do this. We'll do this. When can we speak with Madame Mavia?
I will take you to her. Now, yes?
Yes.
Yes. I believe that would be our best idea.
Sure.
Morty, get your head out of the book. We need you.
We need to figure out where the fuck we are.
Let's talk. Maybe that will give us some answers. You don't have to figure it all out on your own.
Maybe this woman can help.
Perhaps, yes. I mean, let's go.
You walk past the encampment where you see this very old woman, this old wise woman, who looks like her eyes have cataract over. They're just kind of white and pale, and you move past her. She dodders about the encampment, feeble and old, paying you no mind, and into this large kind of reddish-colored tent. And within is this very low table, kind of covered in a black velvet cloth. sitting in the center of the cloth is this perfect, certain, perfect round ball that is clear, a ball made of glass, perhaps, or crystal. As you see, this very young woman, perhaps maybe 15, 16 winters of age, standing behind it. She is very thin and willowy and wears similar clothing as the others outside, dressed for the heat, with golden bangles around her wrists. And she seems to have this shock of red hair that is kind of curly and kinky and red and tall, despite the fact she her skin is also very ruddy as well. These deep black pools where her eyes would be almost pupilless. They seem to be very entrancing as you walk in. She looks up from the crystal ball, and she kind of, "Oh, outsiders, you've arrived.
You knew we were coming?"
"No," she says, "but you're not the first to come through our encampments. Please, sit."
The old man has told us this.
"Kolyat," he says, as he steps inside. He steps inside the tent as well and hands you once again the heavy horsehide wine.
"I will. Maybe later, once we..."
She says, "You seem to be confused."
"It is a confusing time."
"Yes, we came from a land covered in snow, a storm."
She nods. Kind of almost, she doesn't even seem to be taken aback at such a suggestion.
This is normal.
She says, "Normal?" She questions. "No." Common. She does not say normal.
Common for this place?
"There are many outsiders who pass into the land of Barovia."
"Yes, we've heard, but no one leaves."
She nods solemnly.
"So there's no way out."
She wrinkles her nose a bit and says, "Let me tell you a story. There is but one man who I have met who has passed beyond the mists. He was..." Her eyes turned toward Mortimer. "Like you." "And he came to this land nearly a year ago. I remember him like it was yesterday. He stood exactly where you're standing." She kind of gesticulates for a moment. "A very charismatic man. He was. He thought he could rally the people of Barovia with thoughts of revolt and took them all to the castle en masse. He had thought to challenge the Devil Strahd. When the Devil appeared, the peasantry that surrounded the sorcerer fled in terror. A few stood their ground but were never seen again. The sorcerer and the Devil Strahd cast spells at one another. Their battle flew over the courtyards of Castle Ravenloft. Over the precipice, looking over the falls, I saw the battle with my own eyes over the mountains just beyond here. Thunder shook the entire mountainside. And great rocks tumbled down all over, all around the sorcerer. Yet by his magic, he survived. Lightning from the heavens struck all over. And yet the wizard stood his ground. When the Devil Strahd fell upon him, the wizard's magic could not save him. I saw him thrown thousands of feet below the mountains, falling to his death. I climbed down to the river to find the sorcerer, to see, you know, if he had anything of value. But the river Iblis had carried him away."
"Iblis, this..." "Two major rivers in this land?"
She shakes her head. "There is but one."
"What is the river outside?"
"That is a pool called the Sir Pool." It feeds the Iblis. The moral of the story is that none leave Barovia unless by death. Oh. And it's only by the river that one may leave.
But this castle and the devil protect that.
At one time, she says, but the devil Strahd is dead.
So why don't you just use the river to leave, then?
Oh, she says. There is no leaving Barovia. For the devil Strahd once sat in his stead... A queen, not dark, but beautiful and terrible as the dawn. She demands love from all those, and those who do not meet their doom by the spears of her handmaidens. She is the Dark Queen Tatiana. She now rules the Devil Strahd's stead.
Is she a devil herself?
Mm-hmm. Perhaps, she says.
Do you love her?
All must pay tribute. She smiles.
All. Even visitors. Mostly visitors.
None have dared to come before her.
So how do we hide in a land that she rules, not knowing it?
The Queen Tatiana knows all who pass into Barovia, much like her master, the Devil Strahd. She sits upon the seat of Castle Ravenloft, and it is from there that she can see within and without. She can see beyond the gloaming, and she can see those that are within. All who move amidst her land, she knows.
What became of this devil?
Come on.
The Devil Strahd was banished.
I thought you said he was dead.
A devil cannot be slain. Oh. In his absence has risen this queen.
Who serves her former master still, you believe?
To call the devil your master would be a strange... would be strange to say. Servant, certainly. I cannot speak to the motivations of the Dark Queen.
So our lot is set. We're here for the rest of our days. We may as well make the best of it and avoid this Tatiana at all costs. Make our fortune and live our lives.
Maybe I'm confused here. What of the manor home near here?
She. Oh yes. One of the many ways that people have passed into Barovia.
So it's only one way. We can't go back through the manor home.
No, she says plainly. For every home and every passage the Devil Strahd was raised in when he was young has become a place to the other, or where outsiders like you pass into this land. There is no leaving unless you beg the Queen, but she will not receive visitors. So, not as you are, at least, she says, kind of pursing her lips slowly.
Plus, it seems the only way to leave is by death.
By death, or by permission by the Queen.
But she won't see us because we're a band of rebels from outside her realm. Is that what you're saying?
You mistake the Dark Queen, for she is born of peasant blood.
Then why wouldn't she see us as we are? I mistook your words.
I have guided visitors, much like you before, throughout Barovia. Who have asked the same questions that you have, had the same, given the same answers. And I'll tell you what I told them. To entreat the Dark Queen You must first bring forth that which slew the devil.
The wizard? Or what slew the devil? Maybe I should ask that.
Where are you at? You need to be asking these questions. I don't understand what she's talking about.
It's all new to me.
The devil was slain by a sword made of the light of the sun.
Magic.
Silly.
You doubt?
Magic is real. You know this to be true. How long have we traveled together now, Alfie?
It's magical swords and... I mean, they speak of the arms of Yuleth and, you know, and Revelance back home, but do they exist?
We don't live in a storybook.
You've seen what I've done with my scythe.
That is different. That is your god and...
To deny the gods and that magic exists is to deny the sun and the moon. To deny that the sky magic is not real.
I've never seen holy weapons that are born of the sun.
But you were a believer of God.
There cannot
be God without the devil. And I can assure you, the devil Strahd is real. And he will return. That is why the Queen Tatiana seeks the Sword of Light.
To be ready for him.
Oh, seems she wants to keep her throne.
This is a very confusing place.
It's not that much different from back where we're from. People on top want to stay on top.
I understand that. But, you know, back home, if we want to leave a place, we just leave a place.
Seems magic is a bit more open here. Whereas where we're from, it is something hidden, something secret, something sometimes profane.
Heresy, that's what you said.
Many would call it heresy. But we are no longer there. These are different rules. We must learn.
What is... How do we keep ourselves here?
She shakes her head. I don't understand your meaning.
Survive. You say there's all these things that we must know, yet we know nothing of this land. We know how not to, we don't even know how to navigate your land. Your stars are different.
She smiles. There are two things I will tell you. The first is that I must read your fate and your fortune. The second is, after this, much like how one reads a story, you simply turn the page. And then another, and then another.
To life. Live. I was meaning feed ourselves after we leave your encampment. We can't be a burden upon your group for forever.
Is there a city here in this land? Is there towns?
She nods, and she says, not far from here is a village named for the land, a village called Barovia. Go there. Ask for the Lord Marcus. He may be able to help you.
How do you spell Barovia? That's a unique one.
Barovia.
Okay.
Mortimer, you said we're to the south, right?
Sure.
So we head north, keep walking. Eventually we'll find somewhere we need to go.
She curls her lips. Coliat, bring me my things. Coliat nods, this man, and he heads outside.
Marcus?
Into the back. He heads outside and then comes back in with what appears to be these furled up kind of heavy hides. Look like the hides of animals, deer, something along those lines. She takes one and she gently removes the crystal ball from the top of the table and lays out this hide that looks like a map. And she says, this is where you're at. She points toward this lake. This is the Sir Pool, dividing the land is the River Evlis. To the east, she points on the map. This is the village of Barovia. Go here.
East.
Take this, she says, and place it into Nigel's hands.
It will be a good place to stop off and replenish our provisions as we head north back home.
What coinage do you use here?
She...
Transmission of wealth. Barter?
She smiles. The people of Barovia do deal in coin, yes. They are accustomed to outsiders, she says. They will make trade with you. But they are a dour people, and they are a village of strangers like you.
Barovians. The people of Barovia. That's confusing, but I'm going to handle it. They're all outsiders.
Some. Others have been here for a generation or two.
But you all, and how do I say this and not sound like... I am an outsider, so I'll just say it. You are the people of Barovia, the original people, the natives.
She shakes her head. No.
So all that come here were once outsiders.
Indeed. She nods.
Because you speak the common tongue.
Do we not all speak the common tongue?
No.
In Barovia, everyone speaks the same language.
The Gothric do not speak our tongue. The Pharisimi speak a different tongue.
They do not know these families, she says.
I see.
This should keep things simpler, though.
True. Everyone speaks the same language. That seems very...
Helpful.
One thing that we've found so far. So which one of this was the Barovia? This is Barovia?
Yes, right here.
What is this big giant is this the castle of the queen of...
Yeah, this castle Ravenloft.
And the queen... What is our fair queen's name?
Tatiana.
That's what she was once called, yes. Go to the village. Seek out Lord Marcus.
Lord Marcus. Does Lord Marcus serve the queen?
All serve the queen, I imagine.
In a fashion, she says, kind of trailing off. You'll have to ask Lord Marcus his story yourself.
We are welcome to bed tonight with your fine folk.
Please, if you wish. It is the safest place you can be tonight. She smiles.
Are there dangers in Barovia besides the queen, the devil? I mean, they seem to be mounting.
The queen is served by her handmaidens. They are her royal guard. Chief pupils among Barovians are drawn into her cadre. Stay away from Castle Ravenloft, she says, and you will be safe from their spear's tip. But wander these roads, and you will be beset upon by a number of hungry predators, from men to wolves, and worse. These are not safe lands. The village of Barovia is perhaps the second safest place. Save amongst our camps. But we will be gone by the morning.
And you head the opposite way, I would say, of the village.
We travel all of Barovia.
Would there be any way for us to find you? Should we ever choose to enjoy your hospitality again?
Or repay?
Perhaps we'll meet again on the road. Perhaps.
What are you a troop? Am I saying that right?
Troop?
With minstrel...
Performers.
Actors.
We are mere pilgrims of this land.
Pilgrims.
Our people are called the Vistani.
Vistani.
Pilgrims normally have a destination.
Where's
in mind.
Your destination?
The pilgrim has no destination. We have arrived early where we intended to go, and now we simply go where the winds will take us. We made our pilgrimage to Barovia, and it is here we are staying.
Hmm.
Oh. You too are pilgrims. You came from elsewhere? Yes? Seeking safety? Yes?
That is true. Is we all pilgrims now.
We all have the same destination, though.
Don't get dark on us, Mortimer. I mean, we just traveled a few thousand miles, hundreds of miles, however you make it in your mind, through a house. That's still not sitting well in my mind.
Take this map. And go east.
East.
Speak to Lord Marcus. In the morning. Stay here for the night. Were you going to
tell our futures?
Yes, she says as her hands kind of meet, her eyes meet your hands, or you're flipping the cards kind of nervously, as if she's almost expecting it. We will pause here.
Okay.